Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
A factual data creation facility production.
Recorded live in front of an imaginary audience, it's the OFNT podcast. Now here's your host, the ever semi-optimistic Jim Schaefer.
Why, thank you, Brian. Don't worry, everything's going to be all right. Maybe. Welcome to the OFNT podcast, episode 304, which I'm calling Not Even Rent to Own. I'm referring to Apple's latest money grab here. We're in the middle of a cold snap, and I don't like it. The temperatures have rarely ventured above freezing over the last couple of weeks. Now, I guess it could be worse.
Yes.
I've got a small amount of tech news for you this week, and all my usual stuff. I might as well get started now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Tech news. Another week, another iPhone 17e rumor.
Oh, good Lord.
I know. This phone needs to be released post-haste so these constant rumors stop clogging up my news feeds. The latest rumor concerns the display, and it's brought to you by AppleInsider.com, who in turn is quoting Chinese social media platform Weibo's rising star, none other than Digital Chat Station. According to DCS...
Huh?
That's what I'm going to refer to them as. Though the iPhone 17e will be keeping the same display as the 16e, it will feature a dynamic island.
Yay!
The bad news here is that this OLED display's refresh rate will still remain at 60 hertz.
Ooh.
Now, 60 hertz is a respectable refresh rate, unless you're into mobile gaming. And if you're thinking about equipping yourself with a 17e, but currently have a phone with a 120Hz refresh rate, you will notice some difference. I made this discovery while going from a Pro model iPhone 11 to a base model iPhone 13. I eventually got used to the slower refresh rate, but I missed the snappiness of the older phone. That's what the faster refresh rate can bring to the party. Oh, there was no mention of MagSafe in this article. The addition of the A19 chip will give the 17e better performance than the 16e, but for the audience this device is targeted at, they probably won't notice much, if any, difference. I'll get myself an E-series phone when it has a dynamic island with a 120Hz display refresh rate, along with a ProMotion display. I figure I have a couple of years to wait until that happens. It seems that everything is on a subscription model these days. You know, we're close to fulfilling the World Economic Forum's prophecy of you'll own nothing and be happy. Well, maybe not the happy part. The giant fruit company, which has been pushing its app developers to adopt the subscription model for years now, first tested the water for themselves by making Final Cut, Logic Pro, and Pixelmator Pro subscription only for the iPad version of those apps. According to 9to5Mac.com, and just about every tech news outlet out there, Apple has taken the first steps to implement this model on all of its devices.
What?
Last week, Apple unveiled its Creator Studio Bundle. This subscription bundle includes full access to Final Cut Pro, Logic Pro, and Pixelmator Pro. Now here's where it gets kind of scary. Pages, Numbers, Keynote, and Freeform will be enhanced with Apple Intelligence if you subscribe to this bundle.
Aren't those last apps you mentioned part of the old Apple iWork bundle that's now provided free for purchasers of Apple devices?
Yes, they are, except Freeform, which is a relatively new app. These core apps will still be free of charge.
For now, at least.
But won't be getting the AI enhancements.
And you could always use enhancement, but not for the apps, if you know what I mean.
Well, Brian, I do know what you mean, and it's both personal and inappropriate. The problem with all of these so-called bundles is choice. Take my case, for example. I've been tempted to check out Logic Pro, which is a digital audio workstation, or DAW, for recording my podcasts. But don't want to plunk down the $200 plus tax to do so. Because what if I don't like it? And that's the only app I would be interested in within this software bundle. Instead of choice, it's all or nothing. And I choose nothing.
By the way, you haven't told us the subscription price of this Creator Studio bundle.
My apologies. To rent this software will cost you $12.99 per month, or $129 per year. Pretty reasonable as far as subscription bundles go, if you compare it with like Adobe's Creative Cloud, which last time I checked starts at around $30 per month. I can see major content creators and entertainment outfits going for this, but the average consumer?
No.
As far as the old iWork bundle apps, none of the enhancements appeal to me. I mostly use Pages for basic word processing and Numbers, which is a spreadsheet app, and that's only around tax time. However, if Apple went full Microsoft on their iWork bundle, meaning having to pay a subscription to use those apps, most would opt for using open source apps. And this can have an effect on consumers ditching Mac OS for Linux. And I think Apple realizes this. Well, at least I hope they do. So for now, the old basic iWork bundle is safe. Plus, part of the Apple tax one pays for their devices gets you that Office bundle. And that's what I liked about Apple's ecosystem. When you buy an iPhone, iPad, or Mac, you get a full suite of productivity apps, including GarageBand. And they're already installed and ready to go as soon as you power on your new Apple device. You can also get full access to these apps via iCloud.com. I'll wait a bit and see the reviews on Creator Studio before maybe trying out the bundle to see what enhancements are brought to the core iWork apps and check out Logic Pro for a month or so, then cancel my subscription. According to market research company Counterpoint, Apple's iPhone market share is now larger than Samsung's.
Wow!
According to Counterpoint, Apple's global share of the smartphone market stands at 20% while Samsung is at 19%. This is due to Apple's year-over-year growth being double that of Samsung's year-over-year growth. The reason for the giant fruit company's growth is because of a more diverse product lineup, from affordable to expensive devices, which has made inroads into emerging and mid-sized markets. Well, let's face it, like it or not, iPhones have become a real worldwide status symbol. And it will remain so unless Apple does something stupid, like moving their core apps to a subscription model. And I'm also looking at you, iMessage. That E-series of iPhones doesn't seem to be that bad of an idea as the tech press previously made it out to be. Now, does it?
No.
And speaking of Samsung, if you've been listening to this sorry excuse of a podcast, last episode I covered a story about the Samsung Galaxy S25 Edge, which is, or was, Sammy's answer to the iPhone Air. The model had been pronounced dead by the tech press. Well, some nerds over in India found some reference to a Galaxy S26 Edge model within Samsung's technical documentation that resurrected this thin-as-in model. Well, this week, AndroidAuthority.com is reporting that Samsung mistakenly posted the upcoming release list of the Galaxy S26 series of phones. And guess which model wasn't amongst that list?
Wait, don't tell me. The Galaxy S26 Edge?
You got it. So either the S26 Edge is going to be an exclusive for India, or more likely completely dead in the water. I'm heavily leaning towards the latter. Money talks and Samsung's hasty response to the Apple iPhone Air during its rumor stage didn't make any, just like the iPhone Air itself. What is coming, according to the leaked release table, are an S26, S26 Plus, and a S26 Ultra. The release day was cited as February 5th. Well, I'm not sure if that date is referring to both the announcement and release date. I guess we'll be finding out real soon now. One of the many things I've learned while occupying space on this rock that we call Earth is that people are never satisfied. According to TheVerge.com, who got the information from Reddit, users of Amazon's groundbreaking Echo devices are upset because their Echoes have been automatically updated to Alexa Plus. Alexa being the name of the digital assistant which inhabits the Echo, and many other Amazon hardware and software products. It's not that Amazon is just arbitrarily doing this. Those about to have their Echoes updated are sent a courtesy email telling them of the coming update, along with instructions on how to downgrade back to the old Alexa. All this downgrade takes is one short spoken sentence. If and when this is done by these particular users, there are even more complaints about getting too many advertisements once the downgrade is completed. I have 5 Echoes strewn about the old Ford household, and 4 of the 5 were able to be upgraded to Alexa Plus. The exception is an old first-generation Echo Show, which resides in my kitchen, as it has since 2017. First up in New York and now here in Tennessee. If you're an Amazon Prime member, you receive Alexa Plus gratis. I've had the upgraded Alexa since May of last year, and many Echo users had it even before then. They received it by requesting it.
Like you did?
Yes, like I did. The first difference between the old and new Alexa that I noticed was the voice. The new voice is a pleasant, albeit younger-sounding voice than the older version, but much better than the choice of voices Apple gives me for their digital assistant. I've yet to notice an increase in advertising on my one unupdated Echo. I use the upgraded Echoes the same way I use the unupgraded Echo, and yes, there's a slight, very slight delay when answering queries like how's the weather in comparison to the non-plus Alexas. But I'm talking less than a second. So I would recommend to these Echo users that are on Reddit to do the same. There's an old saying that goes something like this. Easy times create soft people. Well, I feel that this is the case here. Check I'm using. Those third generation AirPods Pro I got for Christmas are really proving their mettle. The feature that I'm most satisfied with is a feature that I thought I'd most likely never use. And that would be the heart rate monitoring. When that new feature was rumored and then announced, I reasoned to myself, why would I use this? I already have an Apple Watch which already does this and does it quite well. Problem with the watch is, certain strength training moves, mostly while using kettlebells, can result in my watch being damaged. My solution was to just not do those movements. And this was a good excuse, being that I don't like those moves anyway.
So let me get this straight. You've now started doing those moves even though you don't like them?
Why, yes. I'll just have to learn to love them. By tracking my heart rate using the AirPods, I can now perform these exercises without worrying about destroying my expensive Apple Watch. Now I just have to worry about destroying my wrists.
I suppose that's a fair trade-off.
That's your opinion, and you're entitled to it. Along with the heart rate monitoring, the new AirPods Pro have better sound and noise cancellation. To me, the previous generations of the Pros always sounded muddy.
Because of your high-frequency hearing loss that wasn't caused by all those heavy metal concerts you attended over the years?
Yes, probably because of that. And of course, you can't blame those concerts for my hearing loss.
No.
While this latest version of them still sound a little muffled to me, the sound is much better than it was on the last generation. For some reason, Beats earbuds always sounded better to me. Not the bass frequencies, but the high frequencies. Overall, the Beats sound clearer to me. I've tried to pair the new AirPods to my Peloton bike, but they refuse to do so. My current Beats Fit Pro have no problem whatsoever pairing to the Peloton bike. Speaking of which, my current Beats Fit Pro are starting to give me problems. Sometimes the right earbud doesn't charge for some reason, and the attachment that ensures the earbuds stay firmly in my ears is broken on the other. Well, I've had them for some 5 years now. So maybe I can use this as an excuse to buy the second generation of these earbuds. I'll have to look into that. But overall, I think the latest AirPods Pro are a very good, if not great, upgrade overall. I've been a PIA VPN subscriber for years now. I mostly got a VPN so my lovely wife can watch content from her original country. The lifetime sale PIA had at the time didn't hurt my choice either. I pay about $40 per year for it, and I'm locked into that price forever. PIA works great for her. Let me explain. I've used PIA while using public Wi-Fi and once in a great while for content from other countries, mainly while using Netflix. I tried using it for watching the New York Yankee games on the MLB app that were blacked out in my area, but that didn't work out for me. The problem that I have had with PIA is with its video performance. I get a lot of dropouts and stuttering, and sometimes the connection will fail completely. And that's no matter what server location I choose. The other day, I was having this video problem when I remembered that I had a VPN client from Proton. Now, I pay about $80 per year for the lowest paid tier of the company's suite of apps. And Proton VPN is part of that suite. So I fired it up, and the app chose a server in the Netherlands, and not only was I able to watch the content I wanted with no problems, but it's blazingly fast. While using PIA VPN on my phone on public Wi-Fi, I would sometimes forget to turn it off. And when I finally arrived back home, I was reminded of that because my phone was really working slow. Not so with Proton's VPN. The only time I realize that I forgot to turn it off is when I start getting advertisements from the country where the VPN server is located. My one complaint with Proton VPN is, unless you pay extra for VPN Plus, everybody's got a plus these days, you're limited to letting Proton pick the server for you. So this wouldn't work out for my wife. If PIA VPN wasn't so cheap, well, I'd switch fully to Proton. Do you use a VPN? If so, which one? Entertainment news. Good old Spotify is again raising their subscription prices.
And the sun will be rising somewhere in the morning.
Yeah, these price increases seem to be coming in faster than ever. According to TheVerge.com, this will be the third price increase since 2023.
Am I starting to see a pattern here?
You sure are. I guess we can expect an annual price increase schedule going forward. The individual plans will go up $1 to $12.99 per month, while the duo and family plans go up $2 to $18.99 and $21.99, respectively.
Oh no, why?
I ditched my Spotify individual plan back when it hit the $10 threshold a couple of years ago. I didn't feel Spotify was worth it then, and I really don't think it's worth it now. I subscribe to the Apple Premier One bundle, which includes Apple Music. Though Apple Music isn't as good as Spotify for finding new music to listen to, Apple has closed the gap some over the years, making it good enough for me. Paramount Plus is one of my favorite streaming services. Well, they just launched a new version of the Star Trek franchise called Starfleet Academy. The television series rumored to have cost $10 million per episode.
Whoa!
That's quite a bit of money. To celebrate the release, the first episode of this new series was free to view on YouTube. I guess the thinking here was that many would be enticed to subscribe to Paramount Plus after watching this episode.
Wrong.
As it turns out, hardly anyone had bothered to even watch this first episode. In fact, a superhero geek channel drew more of an audience by just putting a Spock action figure on a chair in front of a camera. The reaction to Starfleet Academy has been overwhelmingly negative. This version of Star Trek appears to be aimed at not at fans of Star Trek, who are mostly male, but at young teen females. In fact, most of the characters of this show are females of all shapes and sizes, and the male characters are either bi, gay, or whatever. You know, it's just more of the regular slop that's been getting put out for the last 5 years or so now. Critics keep asking why this female-dominated content keeps being shoved down our throats. Well, I think I can answer that. It's because the entertainment industry, as well as many others, have been basically taken over by women, especially the writers. Most of the old writers have been forced out, replaced by freshly college-graduated females whose only life experiences come from school. And they're willing to work a lot cheaper. I first noticed this trend at the turn of the millennium with novels, especially spy novels. Back then, I was an avid reader of this genre. While the plots of the story were great and the twists were often and genuinely surprising, I always felt something was a little off. It was usually in the description of male spies, good or bad. There was a fixation on the fit of the clothing and particularly on shoes.
Shoes?
Yeah, shoes. That was my first clue. When a man sizes up another man, the first and only thing he looks for is the guy a threat to me? You look at the eyes, arms, and hands. You don't really look at the style, color, or fit of clothing. The shoes would be one of the last things you'd look at. Now, if the clothing was loose or tight, well, you'd try and detect if that man was attempting to conceal a weapon. These books I was reading all had authors with male-sounding names. However, when I did some research on them, I found that these were pen names. These novels were actually written by women. So until there's a semblance of balance returned to Hollywood, well, as far as script writing goes, and novel writing too, expect nothing more than the drivel we're getting from Hollywood and beyond.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Feeling sluggish from all the extra food, drinks, and celebrations? Kick off the new year with a science-backed reset. Quiksilver Scientific's PushCatch Liver Detox is a patented, simple two-step system that supports your liver, gut, and whole body detoxification, helping clear out what's slowing you down so you feel energized for the year ahead. It's more than a cleanse. Quiksilver Scientific's PushCatch Liver Detox helps reset your system. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Podcast news. Well, according to podnews.net, news, and I use that term lightly, network CNN, has inked a deal with podcast production studio Lemonada, a true match made in heaven. The deal will allow CNN to carry some of Lemonada's video podcasts on CNN's all-access paid streaming service. Unlike the deals Netflix has recently signed with Spotify, these podcasts that air on CNN will continue to be available on all other platforms, and that's good news for the podcast host. They need to make money, too. Lemonada was founded at the dawn of Podcasting Incorporated back in 2019. The company is headquartered in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So there's that. Enough said. In past episodes, I've told of how Apple's podcast listening app is slowly becoming my go-to solution for all my podcast listening. In the past, I've never really used Apple Podcasts, preferring third-party solutions instead. Apple's app was basic at the time and clunky to use, especially for an app published by the giant fruit company. But over the last few years, the sleeping giant that is Apple appears to have woken up. We've seen a lot of good improvements lately, such as a more polished and intuitive user interface, automatically generated chapters and transcripts, and a list of podcasts mentioned within the podcast episode you just listened to. Also, podcast episodes update in minutes instead of the hours it used to take not too long ago. All of these features are a benefit to both the podcast producer and listener alike. I started shifting my listening over to Apple Podcasts mainly because of its seamless integration with CarPlay. I've had some sort of problem with every third-party podcasting app while using them with CarPlay, and major problems with the new Podcasting 2.0 apps, which I find disappointing. The only other app I have found that gives Apple Podcasts a run for its money is Amazon's Music app. But that app requires a subscription on top of the money you pay for an Amazon Prime subscription in order to get all the useful features. Last week, Apple took a victory lap, as the cool kids say these days.
Yes? No.
Well, last week, Apple released a statement stating that their podcast app has had its best year ever.
Yay!
With a record number of users.
Well, the app does come preloaded on Apple Gear after all, doesn't it?
Well, yes, it does. And remember, the number of podcast listeners has greatly expanded over the years. Apple also said that they had a record number of listeners as well as subscribers. Congratulations to the Apple Podcast team for finally producing an app worthy of consideration. It's about time. As I forgot to mention during the intro, well, I'm back on the Electrovoice RE20 microphone. Even though I was quite happy with the results from using the Rode PodMic, it's not the sound I want for this show. The PodMic seems to be geared to achieve that modern sound that I guess younger generations prefer, but I find too bright for my old fart ears. Again, for the price, which is below $100, the PodMic can't be beat. I've never tried those cheap Chinese microphones from the like of Fine and others, but the Podfather... Mr. Adam Curry uses one of those on the No Agenda podcast, which replaced his Electrovoice RE320. You know, I think he sounded better when he used the RE320. There's something that bothers me with the mic he uses now. There's some sort of distortion in the middle and low frequencies.
But haven't your ears seen better days?
Yes, they have, but they're not as bad as they could be, especially when you consider what I've put them through over the years. I think the sound of the RE20, heck, even the RE320, is smoother and more pleasant sounding.
That's probably because the RE20 was, and still is, the broadcast radio standard microphone, at least in the United States.
That might be true. You know, I grew up listening to that legendary mic on the radio. So there's something to that. Another mic that I think sounds awesome is the Neumann TLM-103. Well, if processed correctly. That mic is responsible for the sound of the British Broadcasting Corporation, which I admire. The sound, not so much the BBC these days. Here in the States, we have the National Public Radio Corporation, which also uses the TLM-103, but they fail to use what's called a de-esser, which tames the high end. The failure to use a de-esser gives NPR their signature sound, which reminds me of a snake or a cat hissing. After a while, it becomes unbearable to listen to, along with the content that the recently defunded outfit broadcasts.
If the TLM-103 is so good, why aren't you using one?
First off, the 103 costs $1,195 plus tax on Amazon currently. It sounds great, but the cost is a little bit too stiff for my tastes. Plus, I've seen videos on YouTube where professional voiceover artists upgrade to the TLM-103 from other mics, such as the humble Rode NT1, which goes for a little over $200, and wind up returning the 103 in favor of the NT1.
Perhaps you should buy a Rode NT1 then.
Nah. Though my recording space is treated, noise still gets through. The NT1 and the TLM-103 are condenser-type mics, and they're notorious for being ultra-sensitive. Dynamic mics, such as the RE20, which I'm using to record this, rejects noise much better. Anyway, I have a Neumann TLM-102, which I acquired during a fire sale held by Amazon a couple of years ago. But who knows? If my voiceover gig goes well, perhaps I'll buy one of those portable sound booths and a TLM-103. Now, as far as the pod mic goes, it will join the Lewitt Connect 6 audio interface as part of my mobile podcasting kit. Speaking of audio interfaces,
as you always do,
I'm still working on that test episode using the TLM-102 in the Solid State Logic SSL-2 Mark II. It'll probably drop in a couple of weeks or three. It depends on what I've got going on. When it does drop, let me know what you think of the sound. The music is playing on this uncommonly cold winter evening here in the Appalachian Mountains. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, well, you can always make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Yeah, I really would. Remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Well, whoever's still here, you best get yourself off my lawn. Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
Go!
Bo-do-dee-o-do. Bo-do-dee-o-do. Bo-do-dee-o-do-dee-do-do.
Okay, Mr. English AI voice. You're up.
And that, folks, is the end of the show.
Or is it? I guess it is.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-FOR Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back in unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.